Robin Williams' children are bringing his Instagram account back to life. Now, I love Robin Williams. A lot of people love Robin Williams. I can't believe he's already been gone over a decade. 12 years after his death, Zach, Zelda, and Cody Williams say they want the page to be a safe, authentic home for real photos, videos, and memories of their father, while pushing back against AI-generated versions of his voice and likeness. In an era of AI slop, they say they're fighting to make sure Robin's legacy stays unmistakably human. I wanted to talk about this with our AI and cybersecurity expert on the show, Dr. Vahid Bezadon from the University of New Haven. So, Vahid, this, I have so many thoughts on this, but I'd love to start with where your head is at, with the idea of Robin Williams' children needing to resurrect his social media site in order to combat AI crap, to put it bluntly. What do you think about this?
Melissa, I think it's a defensive move. Right now, if you search his name, you get a mix of real archive and machine-made puppetry. An active verify account gives fans a place where everything is real. And it gives the platforms a reference point for what's authentic. And well, to sum it up, in my opinion, you can't out-delete the internet. So what Robin Williams' children are doing is the next best thing, making sure the real Robin Williams is easier to find than the fake one.
I kind of hate this, though, Vahid. I got to be honest. And you said something so key right there, which was you can't outrun the internet. Like, you can't beat out what the internet is doing. And I, you know why I hate this? It's not because I, listen, I think it's amazing that they have the strength to be like, hey, you know what? We're going to manage our dad's account. I think that's incredible. And maybe it's healing, right? Maybe to some degree it's healing for them to go back through some of their father's greatest moments on screen, right? I mean, maybe this is great for them. But I just think to myself, man, how far we have come, that you have a family that has to create or recreate an account for their late father more than a decade later because the internet has outpaced them. The internet is creating for the next generation falsehoods about arguably one of the greatest actors and comedians of our time. And that makes me sad, Vahid. It does.
Rightfully so. Well, you know, where there is an opportunity, there is somebody who's going to make use of it or abuse it. There are a lot of people who create fake videos for engagement, and nostalgia happens to be enormously clickable. And the tools that they use to create these videos are mostly free or very affordable. Some of the videos that they create are affectionate, which is what makes it a little messy. But I think the point is, affection isn't consent. And Robin Williams' family has been clear, it isn't what it wants. The other issue is, it's becoming harder and harder to tell if the video I'm looking at or the image I'm looking at is fake or not. And I've started asking people to even try. Back in the day, and by that I mean 3 years ago, hands and ears and blinking were the advice. Like, if you couldn't see the character depicted in a video, blink, that was a tell that it's a deep fake. But it's becoming harder and harder to tell whether the video is fake. I think the reliable move now isn't detection, it's verification. Going to the source you trust and see if it's there too. And this revived account on Instagram is that source for things for media related to Robin Williams.
And I haven't seen the account. Actually, maybe I should pick it up. But I would imagine this is one, like the blue check mark, I'm sure, is next to it. I mean, does that help at all in combating this too? I mean, again, I think you're getting to a much bigger conversation. And no, it doesn't have the check mark. It should.
No, I just checked. You're right.
Yeah, it doesn't have the check.
Melissa, you can pay for a check mark.
Right. So, okay. So you're right. So it's getting to what you're talking about, which is, yes, you can pay for the check mark. So even that kind of has lost what it used to be, a little bit of credibility, because anybody could pay to say, yes, I am really me. And it's like, okay, that's great. But you're getting to a much bigger conversation, Vahid, which is the importance of, I would think, social media, AI, and just in general, online literacy, digital literacy.
I agree.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly the point I wanted to get to. Not everything in the realm of figuring out what's real or not is technology-based. Knowing that there are fakes out there, knowing why they are created, what the incentives are, knowing how they are created, and knowing how to verify or authenticate the media that you're consuming, in my opinion, is the best way to combat the adverse impact of fake media. And we've come a long way in the past 5 years or so. I don't know anybody in my community who doesn't know about the existence of fakes. But there are still people, even in educated circles, who don't really see the need to go and verify what they consume purely because of the volume of consumption. Doom scrolling is becoming very common, particularly in the younger population. And when everything that you see is a source of doubt, how do you get to choose, how do you decide which one to authenticate and which one to just ignore or just accept as it is? And this, making that decision is becoming more and more complex. And again, coming back to what you just said, literacy and education, I think getting into the habit of being mindful of the need for verification from an early age is probably the optimal way to go here.
I'm in. But you don't want to do that, do you, Sport? You're terrified of what you might say. Your move, Chief.
Oh, Robin Williams, I tell you, he is truly one of the greatest of all time. And that is probably one of my favorite monologues of all time. That is from Good Will Hunting. And yes, he is talking to Matt Damon about that and, you know, being honest about himself. And let's talk about honesty, right? So Robin Williams' three children have now resurrected his Instagram account. Robin Williams passed away in 2014, and quite frankly, it's one of those Hollywood deaths that I don't think we ever actually get over. I don't think I'm just speaking for myself. I know in our household, we've not ever gotten over the loss of Robin Williams. And it's interesting because my son was born after Robin Williams had passed away, but he's already been familiarized with Robin Williams' work, whether it's Flubber or Aladdin or many other movies that he's been in. Hook, I could go on and on. It's so important that you get the story right. And unfortunately, in the era of AI, that is not always necessarily true, which is why Zach Zelda and Cody Williams brought back their late father's page to create safe, authentic videos and photos and memories of their father while trying to push back against AI-generated versions of his voice and likeness. We are talking to AI expert Dr. Vahid Bezadun from the University of New Haven. And Vahid, digital literacy. Yes, I think it's something you and I have talked about many times. I think it's something that needs to be added to curriculum as early as elementary, especially if we're going to hand Chromebooks to kids. We should probably let them know how to have digital literacy. But how important is it also that we as adults have digital literacy skills. Because even when we're trying to determine what is real and what is fake and what's half real or what's half fake, we're not even necessarily good at that and recognizing if a press conference is real, if a news story is real, if what you are seeing online is credible.
We are not. And the issue is the moment we get good at detecting fakes, the tools that are used to generate fake media get better because they use our ability to detect fake images or fake videos as feedback, essentially, to improve. Now, generally, in digital literacy, particularly AI literacy, so far, the focus has been on telling people, young or adults, to spot the fakes. Like, check the hands, look for six fingers, listen for a flat voice. That advice is already expired, and repeating it makes people overconfident. There are three things, in my opinion, that actually still hold up. The first one is that verification beats detection. Professional fact checkers don't stare harder at the page. They leave it, open a new tab, look up the source, see who else is reporting it. Researchers call it lateral reading. Ordinary people like me call it Googling the guy. One way of looking at it or remembering it is this. Stop, check who's saying it, find someone else saying it. That's the verification bit. The second thing that, in my opinion, will still hold up is knowing what the tool actually is. Like, these systems generate what's plausible, not what's true. They generally, and in most cases, they have no internal fact checkers. So confidence is not evidence. And the third point in this context is know when to slow down. When it comes to money, when it comes to health, legal advice, or anything urgent and emotional, these are the moments when you want to stop and verify. Nobody needs to fact check a recipe, but when it comes to political statements, when it comes to emotional appeals leading to political decisions, legal decisions, health decisions, monetary spending and such, these are the moments when you want to stop and take a little bit of time to verify the authenticity of what you are looking at, what you're reading, what you are listening to.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting as we're talking about it, Vahid, because I had a segment this week just on my show as an example where I was talking to our infectious disease expert who's been in the field for decades. I mean, he's literally an award-winning doctor in the state of Connecticut, and he's been on the show for almost 7 years, the entirety of me being on the air. And I had asked him just very, very surface level questions about what came out of the Fauci diaries. And immediately I was getting hate from listeners. And the reason I was getting hate is because they're like, well, why didn't you ask about this? Or why didn't you ask about this? And I said, because quite frankly, and you could call me a bad journalist, I don't have my hands on the journal. You know, the journal was leaked, then it was taken, then it was redacted. And if you look up any form of Fauci's journal, honestly, unless you can find the actual pages copied and put somewhere, I'm not seeing the exact things that were written. I am seeing third hand articles. And here's the thing is they could be totally true, but I have not confirmed all the things that are in there, and I have not seen it for myself. And dare I say, in the era of AI and people who can create content pretty quickly, and people just believe it, I'm sorry. I absolutely will ask questions from a medical standpoint, but I'm not going to go down a rabbit hole if I don't even have, like, we could be talking about things that don't even exist. I don't know. Obviously the journal exists, but the things that were said and have been reported on, like, I haven't gotten a fair enough, I think, confirmation for me to certainly have an opinion. But you know what I'm getting at? Like, it's even challenging as a journalist today when overwhelmingly, you know, if we're not getting to the sexiest stuff or the biggest details, I don't know if they're necessarily either true or if they're exaggerated. And I just think that's irresponsible for me to even talk about a narrative that may not even exist. Not saying that it is, but I'm just using it as an example. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's challenging. You know, when you talk about verifying, I think it's not only challenging for certainly journalists who do this for a living, but just for the everyday person who's inundated with a million different sources talking about one subject. And yet they're so vastly different. Like, think about that. One subject being covered so vastly different on so many different platforms. How does that happen?
Well, that's actually a business model. Creating polarization, creating bubbles that people get stuck in and get more and more attached to because it aligns more with what they or the people around them believe in or want to hear. This is an unfortunately very successful business model for massive online media platform.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it's the job of the journalist and the researcher. It's your job and my job to be the voice of reason, to actually dive deep into, well, what our areas of expertise allows us to dive deep into and figure out as much of the truth as we can and then report it back to the community. And you're right. It's becoming harder and harder because producing media using AI has become really cheap. So it can be done at massive scale. A single platform can end up generating hundreds of thousands of articles, pushing a certain agenda or a certain belief system. And humans, as humans, we have limited bandwidth. So we have to pick and choose. Each of us have limited time, but also we have our own areas of expertise. So relying on human expertise and human experts is still somewhat viable. However, at the end of the day, I think given that these media platforms, these particularly social media platforms, are pushing for bubbling or creating enclosed communities, I think one way to combat this issue on a personal level is to diversify our networks. And by that, I don't mean whether I use Facebook or Instagram. I mean trying to connect with different people, different types of people and different types of sources on each platform so that I can at least know that a different viewpoint exists.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see the conflicts, when I see the disagreements, if it's an issue that matters to me, I may decide to go and see what experts in this area say, or become more of an expert in that area myself by doing a little more Googling.
Right. It's a little bit more work, certainly, if you're going to dive into the online world. And that's why we love having Dr. Vahid Behzadun as a frequent guest on the show to talk about these things. Vahid, we've run out of time today, but I'm sure you'll be back on before you know it. Thank you so much for always giving us the time. We appreciate it.